Daf is Daf Kuf Lamed Ches. I presume you got to the bottom of Kuf Lamed Zayin and Bez, the last four lines. The Gemara says, no, you got further?
I had a
you cut out.
I came back at night to finish.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I'm Rav Yehuda Amar.
Fine. Okay, so the Gemara says in the bottom of Kuf Lamed Zayin Amar Beis, Amar of Yehuda Amar, Shmuel Hakosev Nechasev La'acher, a person writes his property off to someone else. V'amar Hala, that guy says, EFC Behen, I'm not interested in acquiring the property. The Gemara surprisingly writes, Kana, the person against his will, the Makabel. He says, EFC, I don't want it yet. He has to accept it. It's a good kinnin, and he has to, if he doesn't want it, he needs to get rid of it. V'afil Omeid V'tzavach, even though he's standing and screaming all day long, so still it's his. It's very strange halacha. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Amar lo kana, it's not a good kinnin, which makes more sense. So before I go weiter, just figuring out what the difference between when you are kona and when you're not kona, is machlokes rishonim whether we're referring to a shchimira, matnas shchimira here, or a matnas bari. So most rishonim, the Rif, the Rosh, Rambam, and others, say referring to a matnas shchimira. And therefore, since we know you don't need to write anything, simply by a dibur ba'alma, where the shchimira says, I want you to have it, so the halacha is, it's kiksuvim v'chumisurim dami, it's as if it's written and handed over. So the moment this individual is quiet, just for even a moment, it's considered a final. But if it's a matnas bari, so then it's not a good kinnin until the individual actually takes possession of the properties. That's what the most Rishonim say. It's talking about matnas shchimira, where it has the ability to against the transfer, even though there is no maisa kinnin. But the Ravid says a little bit differently. Ravid writes in the Shita Bekobetes that it's where you threw the object to him. So even though he never actually took it, but there was some movement of an object, and then even though he says he doesn't want it, that's what we're referring to, where it's a good kinnin. And it's even a matnas bari.
Does anybody say that we don't want the reason it works is because we don't want to upset the shchimira? He wants to give the gift to this guy, and the guy keeps saying no, no, no.
Interesting.
We want the shchimira, he doesn't. He might get upset.
I didn't see that, but that could be interesting, because we are oversensitive, yeah. Of course, to the person who's ill. So maybe that'd be another reason why we allow it to against his will. Very good, I don't know. Good chiddush. So the Gemara says, so anyways, there's a machlokus between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan whether or not you could forcibly give someone a gift. So it comes along, Amar Rabbi Abba bar Mamel v'lo pligi. There is no machlokus between the two positions. They're just talking about two different cases. What are the two cases? So the Gemara on the top of Kuf Lamed Ches says, kan mitzaveach meikara, kan mishosek meikara, ulvasof tzaveach. One case is where he's screaming right off the bat. Meikara, he's screaming, I don't want it, I don't want it. That's where we say it's not a good kinyan. But the other case is where initially he's quiet, then he changes his mind and begins to scream, I don't want it. So at that point, it's too late. So that's in the second case is where it's a kinyan. He only says EFSHI after a few moments. So look at the Rashbam on the top of Kuf Lamed Ches. He writes, Kan bitzaveach meikara, where he's screaming right from the beginning. Mitchila kishemasalo zes hashtar hitzchila tzaveach. He hands him the shtar and he says, I'm not interested in this. Hilkach lo kone. He's not interested. What's the reason he's not kone? She'ein mizachin lo la'odim bal karcho. You can't force someone to accept an object. Dechov hulo. It's a chov. It's a bad thing. It's a debt almost to accept a gift. Why? Well, gifts are wonderful things. Dechsiv, the pasuk in Mishlei, sodem matanos yichya. A person who wants to live, he should be sodem matanos. He should hate gifts. And by hating gifts, yichya, so the guy doesn't want to, he wants to live. So to receive a gift becomes, he's going to die because of that. So that's why he refuses to accept it. So let's continue with the Rashbam for a second, then we'll go to an interesting Rashash. He goes on to say, Kedamina be'el chafis, a Gemara in Chulin, va'nosein atzma lo tachsir lo, sherei silik atzma mehem. Now, if you try giving something to someone, it's all yours, and then he refuses. So one might think maybe so that the nosein should be able to take it back. So Rashbam says, once the nosein is willing to give it off, even though there's no recipient, it's out of the nosein's possession as well. Sharei silik atzma mehem. He now had relinquished his rights from it, the nosein, even though no one is actually makabalis. Ela hefkerheim, this object becomes hefker. V'chol machzik bahem zochabem. And anybody who wants would be zochanis. That's what the halacha according to Rashbam is.
Because the reason he's giving it is I'm giving it to a specific person, so why should it go into hefker?
Yeah.
That guy doesn't want it, okay.
Yeah, it sounds like a chiddush to me, also I agree. I didn't look around for this one. I would imagine others might say otherwise, that no, only if you receive it. If you don't receive it, I take it back. Now,
but I'm giving it to you also.
No, I understand, right.
No, it's not. It's
no, I understand, right. So again, Rashbam says otherwise. He thinks not. He thinks it's a seelik, you relinquish, right? If I want, I could go ahead and do another acquisition to reacquire. But I agree, I would imagine others might argue and say, no, I gave it to you only if you don't have it. So I'm holding on to this. But Rashbam doesn't say this. I'm not sure what motivated him. Now, Rashash asks on Rashbam, who says that it's a chov to accept the matan because of the pasuk of sonim matanus yichya. The Gemara in Gittin tells us that a person meets zachin la'adam shlobafanov. So a person wants to, let's say before Shabbos, you can't give gifts on Shabbos. So I give it to my neighbor. I'm going to my friend for a Shabbos meal. I want to give him a gift, a candy dish. So I can't give him a gift on Shabbos. So I go to my friend here, pick it up. I want you to be Kohen on behalf of Reuven. So now it's his already Erev Shabbos. So he's Zachin L'Adam, Shlobafanov. Because it's a Zechus, it's a Zechus for him to receive a Matana, the Gemara says. You cannot be Zachin L'Adam, you can't be rather Chavin L'Adam, Shlobafanov. To give a Chov to someone, you cannot do. You can't have someone accept a get for a woman if she didn't appoint it. That's a Chov for her. So if we're really saying a Matana is a Chov according to the Rashbam, how could you say Zachin L'Adam, Shlobafanov? By a get. Get isn't a zechus, it's a chov, says the Rashbam. So the Rashash answers that no. In general, a matana is considered a zechus. It's a good thing. And now if a person decides to refuse it, why would one want to refuse it? Because he's makbid on this pasuk of sonim matanas yichya. He decided that it's a chov for him subjectively. But generally speaking, of course, receiving a gift is considered a zechus. Gemara now says two lines down in Kuf Lamed Ches, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak zichay lo al yedei acher. Let's say a person gives it to someone else to be zoch on behalf of Reuven. You give it to a third party to accept it to Reuven. V'shasak uvasof uvasof tzoveach. And initially he says quiet, and then afterwards he begins to yell, I'm not interested in this. Now Rashbam points out, this is very important here, zichalei ayde acher, this is around 10 narrow lines down, b'fanav. In front of the recipient, you give it to a third party. So let's say Reuven's receiving it. You give it to Shimon. Shimon, please accept this on behalf of Reuven. Now Reuven's pefanav. He's standing there. And Rashbam says, "V'hu shasek kishemasu es hashar." Now Reuven, who's really the ultimate recipient, is quiet when I hand the shtar to Shimon, who I'm using Zachin for. And I skipped a line. Sorry, where'd I go here? V'hu shasek kishemasu es hashar. Oh, hiknum bekinen tsudar lachen letarcho. Uch shebal limtor lo hashar hitzchel tovech. Now Shimon goes ahead and gives it to Reuven. See, Reuven, I just got this for you. Now Reuven says, I'm not interested in this. Why'd you give this to me? So that's the case here. So he's talking about, if zichalo aidei acher, if I'm giving it to Shimon to accept for Reuven, and Reuven's there at the same time, v'shasak, and initially Reuven's quiet. Uvasov tzavach, but then when Shimon begins to give it over to Reuven, Reuven says, I'm not interested in this. So banum l'machlokes rabban Shimon ben Gamliel v'rabbanim. This is a machlokes tonight. What's the machlokes? The Tani, the Brisa tells us that Hakosef Nechosev La'acher, a person who writes off his property to someone else, Vayu Vahen Avadim, and all in amongst the property that he's giving away are Avadim. Vamar Hala, and the recipient, the Makabel, says, Eif Shibahen, I'm not interested in receiving them, Im Haya Rabban Sheini Kohen Hare Elu Ochlin Mechuma. Now, even though the recipient, who's now the Rabban Sheni, the new master, even though he's not interested, he says, Efshi, the law is he gets it anyways, he has to be Mekablet, he's Kohenit, and since if he's a Kohen, the second guy, the Avadim can eat Truma. Because the law is that Avadim, Evik Kanani, is allowed to eat Truma if he's owned by a Kohen. So even though the Mekablet here says Efshi, it still goes against its Kohenit Bal Karcho, and a very important law is that the Avadim who go now against his will, into his rishus, may eat truma if in fact the Rabban Sheni is a Kohen. So we see you are able to accept something bal karcho. But comes along Rabban Shimon Gamliel, Omer Kaven Sha'amar Hala, since the recipient, the Makabel, says, E.F. Shi, Bahen, I'm not interested in receiving this, Kvar Zachu Bahem, Yorshin. So now already the Yorshin are going to be Kohen. Who the Yorshin? The Yorshin of the first people, says the Rashbam, the initial owner. Meaning you can't makne something bal karcho. So Vabinamba, the Gemara wants to understand, what's this machlokas here? What exactly is the scenario? The Tanakama, Afilu Omei V'Tzaveach? Would the Tanakama say that the Makabel has to receive the Kinyan Bal Karcho, even if he's screaming the whole time, I'm not interested? And the guy says, no, it's all yours. You know, so you can't really do that. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Avisema Rabbi Yochanan V'Tzaveach Meikaro. D'chuyama lo pligi d'lo kana. The guy says, screaming from the beginning. Right, again, I'm giving to Harry to accept it for Adam. So I give it to Adam. Harry, this is for you. Please accept it for Adam. Adam starts screaming the moment he hears that. No, I'm not interested. Everybody agrees that's not a good kinyan. You can't force that upon Adam. Then the Gemara says, let's say when I'm giving it to Harry for Adam, Adam says, I'm not interested. Rather, he stays quiet first. He's shasak initially. Vasof, when Harry gives it to Adam, Adam starts to scream, Vasof Tzaveach, there the Chuyama lo pligi dekana. That everybody agrees Adam is Kona, because when I gave it to Harry in front of him, I said, listen, take this for Adam. Adam was standing here before him. He didn't say a word, so that's certainly a good kinyan. So what's the machlokas? Ki pligi shezichala ayde acher. The first two scenarios where I'm giving it directly to Adam. Sorry. The last scenario, now is what I'm talking about, is the real case is ki pligi, when they argue it, shezichala ayde acher. When I am giving it to Harry to accept it for Adam. Adam initially is quiet, but eventually begins to scream that he is not interested in receiving this object. So the Tanakama Savar Midashasik Kinyanehu, from the fact that Adam was silent at first when I handed it to Harry for him, it's a kinyan. V'hai dekatzovech. Now that he's screaming, he's mehaderhu dekahaderbe. Now he's retracting, but it's too late. The moment I handed it to Harry for Adam, in front of Adam, he was quiet. That's good. So why does Rabbi Shimon Gamliel say it's not a good kinyan? Savar hochiach sofa tchilasa. The end, it indicates what his initial thought was. So why didn't Adam scream in the beginning and say, Harry, don't take that. I'm not interested in taking that for me. So why didn't he scream in the beginning? The reason why Adam waited to scream until now was the savar kilomati liade my tzaveach. What did he have to yell about? He didn't come to his possession. It wasn't related to him at all. And therefore, there's no need to scream. Only once Harry hands the object to him in his hand, now he said, wait a second, I never said I'm interested in this. And therefore, it's not a good kinyan. That's the machlokas between Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Gemara now says halfway down the Amud here, Tanu Rabban, and the Brisa teaches us that Shchimira Shamar Tanu Masayim Zuz Laploni. The Shchimira says, give $100 to Reuven, $200 to Reuven rather, Shalosh Meos Laploni, $300 to the next guy, Barbara Amos Laploni, and $400 to the next guy. Halacha is Ein Omrim Ka Kodim Mishar Zocha. We don't say the first come, first serve. There's no order here of who gets precedence of taking. Fikach Yatzalav Shtarchov Gova Mikulam. So therefore, the total of $800 were given out. No, $900, two, three, four hundreds. So now, what happens is that everyone gets $900. And when a Baal Chov says, wait a second, the money you received from Reuven, the initial owner, he owes me $400. So now, amongst the three of them, they have to split according to the percentage of what they owned. That's how much percentage they have to pay of the debt. They split it according to their ownership of that money. There's no order of, oh, the last guy, the $400 guy got last, he should have to pay everything up first. It doesn't work like that. It was all supposed to be given in one shot. And the Rashbam says, because ideally he wanted to say them all together, but you can't say three statements at once. So he said 200, 300, and 400. That's all considered one statement. It's one entity, one unit. But the Gemara says, Aval, Amar Tinu Masayim Zuz Laploni, V'achar. Then you add the words, after you give $200 to this guy, Laploni, L'vachar of Laploni, give the next guy $300, and then afterwards you give the next guy $400. So there he had separate statements. He actually created a Seder here, an order. So then you would say, Omrim Kol HaKodem B'Shar Zocha. Whoever's name is listed first actually gets the benefit. How? The upper hand. Because L'fikach, therefore, Yatzalav Sharchov, Gove Min HaAchron. If, let's say, a guy says that initial Rishon who gave you the money owes me $400, you go to the last guy first. The last guy was given $400, he pays the full debt, and the two previous guys pay nothing. Ain lo, if the last guy doesn't have the money to pay the debt, so Mishalafanov, you go to the guy previously mentioned in the Shtar. Ain lo, if the second guy listed in the Shtar doesn't have the money, so then Gove Mishalafanov, and then you go to the first guy listed in the Shtar. So depending on how it was written in the Shtar, is going to indicate whether or not they are responsible as a whole unit, or no, there's an order of how the Baal Chov is able to collect. Okay. The Gemara now says the bottom here of Kuflam Neches, last six lines or so, Tanya Rabbanan, the Braisa says, Shchemira she'amar tenu masayim zuz laploni. Person who's dying says, give 200 to one person. Bini b'chori k'raylo. So he says, give $200 to my son, the b'chor, k'raylo, like he's supposed to get. So what's going on here? No lon v'nolt es b'chorasa. So the fact that he says 200, and then he also says k'raylo, sounds like the father's giving him two gifts. One gift is first taking that $200. In addition to also, he takes notas b'charasa. He also takes his double portion, his general, the double portion of the overall estate. That was the two separate statements that was said here. That's what the Rashbam says here. If you say give masayim zuzah bibicharaso for the bicharaso, so then yado el halyon. In this case, he doesn't say two separate statements, so he doesn't take twice, but he does have the upper hand here. So how so? If $200 is more than the bechora, ratzonotlan, ratzonota bechoraso. The bechora has the option of either taking, you know, one of two doors. You either take the $200 door or you take the bechora, the double portion door. So he has the option. If the $200 is more than what he would have received from the bechora, so he'll opt to the $200. If the bechora is going to be more than the $200, so then he could opt for the bechora instead of taking the $200. That's what happens if he says it in this language. The Gemara says similarly, if a Shchemira writes or says, Shamar, Tenu Masayim Zuz Leplonis Ishti, Kirailo, so I want you to give $200 to my wife as she's expected, Kirailo, so this is also double Lashon. So note, Lashon, so the wife takes the Masayim. In addition to the Raila, Notelas Es Ksubasa, she takes the Ksuba as well. The $200 is in addition to the Raila. Because that's the double lashon. Whenever there's an extra word, you can make a drush of it's coming to be most of a lof. But if the husband says ima amar biksubasa, I want you to give her masayim zuz biksubasa for her ksuba, and you don't use a lashon of kiroilo, so then in this case she only takes once, but she has the option what she wants to take. Yada al ha'elyona, her she has the upper hand. Either ratza no lason, ratza no telas ksubasa. Either she'll take the $200, the masayim, or she'll take the ksuba, whichever one is more valuable. And a third case, a shchemira she'amar tenu masayim zuz leploni ba'achovi. I want you to pay off the debt to the bank, kiroilo, and adds in the word kiroilo, so here as well, the bank's going to collect twice. No la and venotas kchovo, going to take both the masayim zuz, in addition to the outstanding debt, whatever that might be. But if the individual says, if the shchemira writes, v'im amar b'chovo, I want you to give the masayim zuz b'chovo, towards my outstanding debt, so then the bank only takes notlan b'chovo, they only take masayim, k'neged the outstanding debt. Mishum dama k'raylo notlan v'notal eschovo. Because he says k'raylo, that word k'raylo is going to make the individual have to pay double now, or twice, the b'chor plus the masayim, the k'suba plus the masayim, the chov plus the masayim. The Dilma, maybe what he's saying is, k'raylo b'chovo kamar. He says, give the masayim zuz, like my b'chor, b'ni b'chor, he's expected to get. It's not an additional obligation to pay, it's just, that's a strange thing. And so the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Li, Huna. Hun explained to me once, says Rav Nachman, Harmani, who is the author of this b'raisa, it must be Rabbi Akivahi. The Daik Lishna Yisrael, if you remember from the beginning of the Masechta, not really the beginning, but in the middle of the Masechta, Rabbi Kiva always darshaned, if there's an extra word used, it means to add something on. Ditzna. And the Mishnah tells us, if you sell a property to an individual, you sell a whole bias, so even though you write everything, lo es abor v'lo es hados. The well is not included in the sale of the house. V'afapi, even though you wrote, shekasala umka v'ruma, you say, I'm selling you the house, including the depths and all the heights, it's not including the dos and the bor. V'tzarach likach lo derech divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, when you sell something, you're mocher b'ayin yafa. So although I'm keeping the bor for myself and the dos for myself, I have no path to walk there because everything else I sold to you. So I need to buy from you as the new lokech, I need to buy a path to access my bor, my dos. So that's the general halacha. Chacham argue and chacham omrim ein tzarach likach lo derech. You don't have to buy a path. A person sells something with ayin ra. So when I kept the board to myself, I did keep a path to access it as well. So that's the machlokas. But comes along now. Umod de Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva agrees in a situation, the following situation, that you don't have to buy a path. That you are actually keeping a path for yourself if you say the following language, or you write the following language. Bizman Sha'amrlo, when you say to the buyer, I'm selling you the house, chutz me'elu, except for the bor of the dos, which is unnecessary because naturally you don't sell the bor of dos together. But I add in the words, chutz me'elu, except for the bor of the dos, which again is superfluous. To lot tzarech, I don't need to write that because it's understood that the bor of the dos is not part of the sale. What's it coming to do to say chutz, except for those things, is extra. So says Rabbi Kiva, kamar l'tfuya milsa kasi, he's going to strengthen the position of the seller, that not only does he have the bor of the dos, but he even has the derech. He doesn't need to buy a derech afterwards. He keeps the derech for himself to access the bor v'dos. And therefore, hachanami here as well, in the case of the shchemira, when he adds the word in kiroilo, he's coming to kevin de lo tzarech. He doesn't need to say the word kiroilo. Yet he says it must be kamar l'tfuye milsakas. He's coming to add on, in addition to the bechor, I'm paying masayim. In addition to the ksuba, I'm paying masayim. And in addition to the chov, I'm paying a masayim as well. So that's Rabbi Kiva who darshins, even an extra word would be an additional obligation for the giver. Gemara now says halfway down in the two dots here, Tanur Rabban, the Braisa teaches us that Shchimira Shamar Mana Yeshli Eitzel Ploni. A Shchimira who says, I've got $100 with so and so. So Ha'edim Kosum, the Edim could write down, he could document this, that the Shchimira says he's owed $100. And Afa Pish Ain't Makir, and even though the Edim who heard the Shchimira saying this don't really know whether this is true or not, they don't know if this is good testimony, they're allowed to write this down, the Fikach Kishu Gove. Therefore, if the Shchemira wants to go and collect it, he can't rely on the shtar, because that's not good enough edus. The Edim wrote it down, Rashbam says, simply as zichron dvar, just to help the guy remember. He's very ill. He's not going to remember what he said necessarily. So let's just jot down some notes that so-and-so Ruvein, the Shchemira, said he's owed $100. Okay, just to remind him. But this is not going to be viewed as a documentation, as edus or a shtar. So since you're allowed to write it down without being makir the details, so when you go ahead to actually collect payment for the shchemira, you need real edus to prove that he owes you money. Edim who hear the shchemira claim that he's owed $100 are not allowed to document this at all unless they recognize the edus that this is really true. And therefore, since they can only write it down if it's really true, lefikach kishu gove. When the Shchemira comes to collect the money, Ein Tzarech Lavirai, you don't have to bring another proof, because the fact that Edim would have signed in a shtar, they would only do this Elim Kin Makirin unless they recognize that this is true. So now that shtar serves as edus to allow the Shchemira to collect from the Baal Chov. So the Gemara now says, Amar of Nachman, Amar Li Huna. Huna said to me once, that's why I bring the dinner here, Huna told him that Tana Rabbi Meir Omer Ein Kosvim, Chacham Omrim Kosvim. He had it flipped around. The Rabbi Meir was the one who said you can't write it unless you recognize, while Chacham allowed you to write it even though you don't recognize it. Vav Rabbi Meir, even Rabbi Meir, who's more machmir in this at least presentation, that you can't write it unless you're makirin, lo amar ela mishim bezdin toim. The reason is because of bezdin toim, that a bezdin might make a mistake, because they might come along and see that, oh, here's a shtar, and people wrote in the shtar that he's owed money, let's use this, that it must be a good edus, and we'll collect money based on this. And they weren't aware that when initially the edim wrote down the shchemira statement, it was only just help him to jot down notes so he shouldn't forget anything. So since we're concerned that that might happen, he therefore made a decree that you're only allowed to write down a shtar from the shchemira if you know in fact that the facts are true. That was the reasoning of Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara now says, Amar Rav Dimi min Naharda, Hilchasa ein choshin lebezdin toin the ma'isa. We're not choshish with this. You are allowed to jot down notes that any statements that the shchemira might say in order for him to remember. And we're not concerned that a later bezdin is going to use this as a real document to prove that he's owed money. It just again zichron dvarim ba'alma. That's why paskin that you are allowed to write it af pi she'ein makir. So Gemara concludes now at the end before the Mishnah. Ma'ishna made Rava. Why is this any different from Rava? What does Rava say? Dama Rava. The Gemara tells us in Yivamos that Ein chaltzin ela imkein makirin. You can only perform chalitza unless you recognize the different parties. Who's the yavam? Who's the yavama? You need to know the details. You can't have some guy say, oh, I need to do chalitza, let's do the chalitza. No, you have to do a lot of testing here to make sure that everything is in fact correct. And so too, v'ein mimanin ela imkein makirin. So too, the din of miyun, you can't allow as a bezin, allow a process of miyun to take place unless you know all the details of the situation. So l'fikach, therefore, kosvin get Chalitza v'get miyin v'yafa pi shein makirin. Therefore, you are allowed to write a get of a chalitza taking place. You are allowed to write a get of a miyin taking place, even though you don't recognize. Why? Mishum dechoshin levezdin la'atan lo. Sorry, this was a 1 second here. And Rava says you can't do this unless you are familiar with this. And therefore, the eidim who see this are allowed to write down what took place, even though they didn't recognize the details, since they know for sure a bezin wouldn't officiate unless they did all the research. So if I came along and saw a chalitza, if I saw a mian take place, I am allowed to write it down because I could be certain that the bezin that over officiated must have been a good bezin. Okay. So anyway, so why over there by this case? by this case, we only allow if you're makirin. But the previous case, by the Shulchan Aruch, we paskin, you can write it down even though you are not makirin. So the Gemara answers the reason over there, mishum dechoshin lebeis din toin, because we're concerned of a beis din toin by the case of the yavama. So why is it any different? And the Gemara answers, lo, beis din acher beis din lo daiki, beis din baser edim daiki. Because when it comes to the case of yavamos, when one beis din gives a certain approval, you're not going to have another beis din try to override that, overrule it, and appeal it at all. Once you see it came out of beis din, you think it's final, and the second beis din won't do any other research. So since miyun chalitza is done in front of one beis din, so now you could, so you'll be sure that it was done final, and no other beis din will ever try to second guess it. So that's why you have to make sure it was done the first place very, very well. When it comes to the case of shchemira, there's no beis din there watching the shchemira say what he said. It was edim. So beis din is not going to rely on necessarily edim that wrote down what the shchemira said, and we would trust that a beis din would do the proper research. That's the situation. Again, what happened in the initial case? The initial case took place by a beis din, the case of miyun and chalita, a beis din who officiated. So if ever cat to a second beis din, no second beis din is going to second guess a first beis din. So that's why the first beis din has to do everything properly. They don't do it unless they're makirim. But again, by the case of shchemira, where no beis din is present watching shchemira, it's simply edim that are there. So later beis din that might see the documents are not going to trust stam edim. They'll do the proper research, and therefore edim, the initial edim of the shchemira, are allowed to write documents down, even though they're not makirin, because anyways, the beis din that ever sees this case will do the proper research some point later on. Okay, we'll stop here. Everybody have a wonderful Shabbos. Yeah.